Now, builders, we have Natasha Levan here today talking to us about all things building design. So we have a conversation a lot of the time about whether you need an architect or a building designer or a draftsperson, and everyone has a different point of view. Here we have an amazing designer who is working from the draftsperson or the building designer's point of view, and she can convey why she feels that her service is best suited or is a great fit for some people. So listen along. We have all different types of designers that we can use in the industry, and there's a reason why you would use everyone. I guess what we want to do is give you the information so that when you're going to find the right fit, you understand why you would use a different person for a different skill set and for a different project. And we will use all different types of designers. So we don't have necessarily a preference or a one type that we will use, but we try and fit them to the project. So I hope you enjoy this chat as much as we do.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders,
our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Welcome, Natasha. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's really enjoyable to actually be a part of this. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So we know that you've worked with a few of our builders, and I guess that's how our paths crossed. Can you maybe just help explain to people what your experience is and what your, I guess, what your title is and how you do design?
My business is purely residential design, and my qualification originally is an architectural draftsperson. However, because of my extensive experience in the building industry and the different companies I've worked with over the years, it sort of gave me the tools really to offer services that were a bit more than just a drafting service for people who really wanted to draft up a design. It really is more of a cross between an architect and a draftsperson, sort of sitting that midpoint in the middle that often suits a lot of people, because sometimes they don't want to go to perhaps the expense of paying for an architect to oversee a whole project, but then they don't want someone who's just going to whack a design together that's not really meeting their brief. So that's sort of where I come in terms of taking one-off designs and speaking and listening really carefully to clients to see what their needs are and then trying to give them the best outcome.
Do you tend to do new builds or extensions or...?
It's both. Probably I would say 70% of my work would be extension and renovation work, and then the 30% would be new builds. I think that's just because I tend to work for like owner occupiers. Obviously the opportunity to do a new build is less than people renovating and improving the house they're currently in. But in saying that, you know, it often goes to a tipping point where sometimes with a renovation it becomes more cost effective to knock down and do a rebuild, which is, you know, reasonably common as well in the sort of work I do. But yeah, a huge chunk would be the extension and renovation work. And I really do love that area of design because you really are turning something that is usually quite, you know, either run down, ugly, very dated into something that can be really transformed into a home that's suitable for the 21st century and for people's needs now, what, you know, how people live in their homes and now even more so people working at home. So
a new era of expectations for what our home can give us. We have a lot of different people that come to us and speak to us about what they're looking for. A lot of people will come to us and they're like, they've kind of got an idea of what they want. There's a very big difference between having an idea of what you want and then translating that to the paper and having that be an outcome.
Yes.
But I find if people are really kind of set on what they want, then sometimes they're best suited to using a building designer who can work, kind of closely hear what they're saying and translate that into...
Correct, yes, I agree. I would say a large percentage of my clients have a very clear idea of what their brief is, like what they want, Sometimes they will have an idea of how they think they want a house laid out, but generally most clients will have a good idea of what it is that they need, and then they need someone to translate that into a design that can suit them. And I mean, obviously some clients have very set ideas about what they want, and that's great. I mean, I can help them then translate that into a design that's going to work. Then other times you've just got a client that they know what they need and what they would like, but they really don't have any concept of how that will work in the house that they're living in. They just know that they need someone to help them translate what their needs are into something that can work for them. And sometimes the clients will have very specific ideas about how they want it to look. They'll have a really extensive Pinterest board about all their ideas, and then you'll get other clients that really don't have much of a clue, but they just wanted you to try and design them something that they would actually love. Those clients are great, but sometimes they can be a bit more tricky because you are trying to interpret what they're after without really knowing what they're after. So, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe talk us through the process of working with you. Yeah. There's a house in Surry Hills that we've been talking about. Let's take that. So we've got an Edwardian-style house and we've got a set of plans. What does it look like to work with you? Like, what are you going to come back? What are your timeframes?
Sure. So generally what I would do is have an on-site meeting with the client. We'd look at the house and do a good walkthrough and then really sit down and talk about what it is that they're wanting to achieve with the home. You know, how many bedrooms overall they need. Most people after the new kitchen family living area, and then how that works and translates and connecting it from the period style into the new addition, whether they want something that's a complete contrast and a modernist interpretation of that addition, or do they want something that's going to be a little bit more harmonious in the continuation of the original sort of period of the home. And then from that conversation...
So at that point, have I signed you up?
So that's an initial consultation meeting, which is completely free. That's where I can gauge the client, whether I would like to work with the client and whether the client would want to work with me. And then I can go away and put together a written fee proposal, which will outline the different stages, what they're going to need in terms of permits. Then once I present that back to the client, if they accept that fee proposal, then we would start working together from there. And then generally the process from that would be is then I would make a time with the client to go back and do a full measure of the house and a site analysis, take down all the information that I would need to consider, such as the adjoining properties, the house itself, the site itself, any trees, vegetation, any important features, views, perhaps views you don't want to see, and that type of thing. And often too, we'll have the sites surveyed as an initial stage, particularly sloping sites, anything where there is quite a full amount of fall, or we are building on the boundary. So we usually get either a re-establishment survey with features or just a re-establishment survey, just depending on what the situation is with the site. And that information, along with what the information that I've gathered, will be enough to then prepare that initial concept design and then, yeah, take it from there with the client. And
so how many rounds of concepts do you normally do?
Well, generally there'll be the initial design, so that will go back to the client. It'll give them time to digest it. Then we'd usually meet up again to go over the design, any changes, anything, things that they like, things they don't like. Sometimes when clients were looking for some options, we would perhaps in that initial design provide a couple of layouts so that they can sort of see perhaps the wish list, because often clients will have that wish list where they want everything, and then they'll have perhaps the paired back list of what they would really need but is not essential if perhaps budget doesn't afford it. Often that's where we will do sort of two designs at that initial concept stage, and then generally what will happen is it will become a meld of those two options, or sometimes it will just be they love one particular option and then we run in that direction, or yeah, we sometimes meld the two together depending on, you know, what they like and what they don't like. So, look, generally in terms of concept design, it usually in a second meeting after that initial, and then sometime a third meeting, and then it's sometimes just a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing with emails with regards to just minor tweaks.
So does that design go into the interiors, or are we talking the building envelope design still at this point?
So it'd be the building envelope, the exterior, complete layout inside. I don't really specialise in interior design in terms of fixtures, fittings, colours, you know, materials. I usually engage an interior designer with my clients and we work together once we're sort of getting a bit further down the track in the design process, but it would definitely have all the layout, how it's going to look, where how the kitchen will be designed, how the bathrooms would be laid out, furniture placement, all of that type of thing, so clients can see how the space would work.
So a lot of the questions we have are around, how do we budget for these type of things? Often we hear that architects, and like this is, I've found to be true in a lot of cases, are between 5 and 10% of the project, and they'll want a scaling process. You're more of a fixed fee for a design?
So in that initial fee proposal, it will outline the project generally in 3 stages, because often if planning is required, it's that sort of an extra step. So generally it'll be stage 1 is concept design, and that is charged as a fixed fee to a certain point, and that allows a certain amount of hours of changes and design development beyond the fixed price. Then if it goes beyond that, then it's charged at an hourly rate. And look, sometimes that is not used, and then sometimes you do get clients that perhaps change their brief after they've had an initial concept design. I've had clients that wanted a single story extension, but then they decided no, they wanted a 2-story extension. So that would then be charged an hourly rate for those changes, because that's quite a significant, obviously, design change and a lot more work. Generally, it is a fixed price with a small amount that would often be used up in some hourly rate changes in that design phase process. And then again, the second stage is often the town planning stage. If we need to go to planning, be preparing those drawings, that's usually a fixed price as well. With a small component for dealing with the council on an hourly rate basis, because sometimes that can be a little bit of an unknown in terms of changes with the council.
Depends what happens, right? So, you know, most of the time the council comes back to you and says, yes, no, we'd like these changes. You go, yeah, yeah, that's fine, we can do that. Sometimes you go to VCAT and it's a full redesign.
Obviously, that would be charged differently if we were going to that stage, but generally you would kind of, I think perhaps what are the thing I find best with councils, dealing with a lot of councils all over Melbourne, is that a pre-application meeting for most applications is really the most fluid and streamlined way of ensuring that the process is going to be as streamlined as possible. So I will do that with...
I would second that as well.
90%.
We do that.
Yeah, and look, I just find it's the most streamlined. It perhaps might slow it down right at the initial beginning, because you've got to allow that extra time for the council to allocate your meeting and et cetera. But generally then once it goes into council, you've already ticked most of their boxes and it will run really smoothly. And I do get that feedback from all the planners that I've worked with in the past, and even a recent application that I just prepared actually for a Build Her client. And it's a heritage overlay. I submitted it to the council with pre-app, and it basically ticked every box before it's even gone into council. There was some very minor little notes that needed to be added, which was all just part of preparing a planning application anyway. And yeah, initial response already from the heritage consultant before it even has been lodged was that, you know, it's a great response to the site, absolutely love it, and basically no changes, which is quite rare from, you know, when dealing with heritage, but that was really a great response. And just purely because we've gone to that effort of speaking with the council.
And you've perfected that process, I guess.
Yeah.
So I would say that whether you're using an architect or a building designer or a draftsperson, that's a step that is advisable.
Yeah.
So we've got the 2 stages. We've got the concept design. From the concept design, if you require DA or planning permission, so DA, development approval, planning permit, it depends where you're located as to what you'll call it.
Of course.
And then final would be building permit approvals or
age. Yep. So once you've gone through all of that, got your planning or development approval, then looking at then turning those drawings into that next level of architectural working drawings, which can be used for the builder to quote off, to build off, to get the building permits, etc. So,
and are you providing a specification alongside that?
Most of the specification will be on the drawings. Written the specification can be done, but it's generally at the sort of level of the clients that I often deal with, we will include a lot of that information on the plans for the builder. And then as we're coming through planning and looking for a builder, that discussions with the builder will often be done a lot with that, when as the clients
choose their finishes and work through it, they'll work through that with the builder. Yep.
Yeah. However, I do often provide like a specification list for the client to help them choose what they want to do, because I don't do selecting of internal finishes as such, and like bench tops, that sort of thing. If they don't want to engage an interior designer, then I'll give them a list of things that they would need to think about so that they can sort of select all of that and then have that information ready for the builder so that, you know, obviously the more information the builder has, the better, so there's no surprises with cost and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
So you're kind of working alongside the client to get them to a stage where they can go to a builder to quote it. It's a little bit different to, say, a full service architectural who will want to control that process. So they'll do internal elevations, they'll pick each finish, and they'll be very directive on that process. You're kind of working with the client and the client's directing that process.
Correct. However, saying that, I do a lot of projects where I do internal elevations for all the rooms, you know, kitchens, bathrooms, wardrobes, that sort of thing. But again, the level of them choosing that what those finishes will be is more directed by what the client wants. If they don't want to use an interior designer, for instance, to get those interior drawings and specifications done. So it's sort of a little bit of a balance. Sometimes clients will go full hog and get interior designer, and I'll work with the interior designer directly to get all of that coordinated so that we've got sort of architectural and interior design. And other times, perhaps if budget doesn't allow, or if some clients have very specific ideas about what they want, then they'll drive, you know, how it's going to look.
And this is the thing, you've got to work out what you're comfortable with when you're building, right? So sometimes I want to do it this way, sometimes I want to do it that way. And I've got clients that sit in every spectrum. Some people find picking finishes the most fun thing they're ever going to do, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Other people find it completely overwhelming and they're like, what are you trying to make me do?
And that's the same. I have clients that are in both those categories. So again, it often starts with that initial consultation to see what level of documentation and input they're going to need, and then me helping to direct them to the right way so that we can have the journey together, so that we'll, at the end, they will get everything that they need and it will achieve the end result.
I mean, one of the things we try and do when we're talking to people is to have them as educated as possible. So you might save a small fortune in architectural fees if you want to take it down this path, but you'll put a lot more time and effort in yourself to manage the build and manage the direction and pick the finishes if that's what you want to do, if you don't want to get an interior designer. I guess what we try and do is at Builder is give you an education so you know what pathway and what's expected of you along the way. And that's where we've found that it's quite good working with someone like you, where you understand what we're telling the client and we understand the service you're providing the client. And so you've got that supported community the whole way through. I think that's why it resonates with Builders quite well, Builders quite well.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's, yeah. Definitely.
So, Natasha, I'm going to put you slightly on the spot here as well. What sort of fee range should I be expecting or budgeting for if I'm using a service that you provide?
So generally, like I said, we've got those three stages, and just in terms of sort of ballpark ranges, in terms of concept design, you would generally need to allow between sort of $2,100 to $3,000 for that initial concept design. And look, that usually sits somewhere in the middle for most clients. Sometimes it goes beyond, you know, if it's an unusual project.
Three-storey on a sloping block. With
a garage and that type of thing might be a bit more. Then that second stage, planning stage, generally you would budget around about that $2,500. And then working drawings generally starts at around about that, about $2,700 upwards. So
you want to allow yourself somewhere in and around $10,000, which will give you some changes and a bit of fat. And that's just for architectural. So we've still got to add our structural on. We've still got to add our energy reports and soil tests, land surveying, everything like that.
Yeah, that's right. So, look, generally you'd probably need to, you know, overall you'd need to probably allow around 15 to 20,000, I think, from the very time you start thinking about engaging someone to when you actually start building on site as a rough ballpark figure. Yeah.
Yeah, and look, that's really helpful to know, because I find sometimes people don't want to commit to prices, and I understand why. But what that means is that it's very hard for people to know what to budget. So if we know...
Exactly. If you've got your overall, you know, budget of $400,000 for your project, you need to think about, well, I do need to allow into that budget, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 worth of, you know, design fees, administration and everything that's going to get you to that point where you can start building. So, yes, it is an important part to factor into the process. And I do tell clients, because it does sound like a lot of money, which it is, but at the same stage, that's usually spread out over a year, sometimes longer. And yes, so these are not large chunks that are paid out all at once. It is a drip feed process that is part of the design process, which often takes, again, and what I tell clients is the whole design process and permits will often take as long as the actual build itself. So if you roughly keep those things in mind, then it sort of gives you realistic expectations about what you're going to achieve and how long it will take to get the process started to when you can actually start digging on site.
If I'm going super quick, I'll get through it in 3 months, and that's someone who knows what they want, who's pretty organised and can push each stage.
You can definitely get through in 3 months.
But most people won't. I don't think that's a realistic expectation for most people. Most people will be somewhere within 6 months and a year.
Yeah.
Because these are big decisions and large amounts of money, and you want to allow yourself the time and the space to think it through properly and to make it happen the best that you can afford and realistically get.
That's right. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Sometimes you get people that are very clear, particularly if it's I've got one particular client who does do a lot of buying and selling of properties and flipping them. So they've got the experience. They know what they're looking for. They'll usually do a renovation that doesn't need planning. They'll know in advance what they're going to need. So we can actually push it through really quickly because they've got a very clear process, and it's not their forever home that they're living in. They're doing it as for investment and commercial purposes. But generally most clients are, the owner occupiers. This is, and like you say, they're spending large amounts of money and making big decisions. So I do try to encourage clients not to rush it if possible, because sometimes you do get people that have just purchased a home, they want to renovate it straight away, they've never lived in the home, and then all of a sudden once they actually sit and live in the home for a while, then the actual ideas completely change. And that's also the benefit of taking the time to really think about and live in a home and see it in all the seasons and not rush the decision so that you don't end up making a mistake with what you actually, end up doing. So,
well, thank you so much for chatting to us today, and thank you so much for, explaining what your role is in the building industry. And I'll say it again, we are at Build Her very passionate that every different type of designer, type of consultant has a role in the building industry. And it's about selecting the one that's right for you. So hopefully this has given you insight into the type of work that Natasha will do. So that's Levan Design, Levan Design, DESIGN.com.au. If you want to find out more about what she does or request an initial consultation. But thank you so much for being so open and, explaining the concept and the process from your point of view and why you have found this the best fit for your clients.
No problem, Rebecca. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.